The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is the gift of eternal salvation given on the basis of the belief about Christ's power and accomplishments, or on the basis of belief about the Father's promise? What is the difference in believing in and believing for? We are thinking about these things today on this episode of Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. And we welcome you. We're glad you're here. We will begin our discussion right after I tell you about our website. That's faithalone.org. Faithalone.org. Go there to find out more about us. If you want to give to our ministry, you can do that there. And you can see our resources available to you. That's faithalone.org. Now, to begin this question and answer discussion, here are Ken Yates and Bob Wilkin.
Welcome back to Grace and Focus. Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates here. I'm Ken, and we've got a couple questions here. The first one comes from who? And this is a great name. Christian.
Oh, Christian.
Christian.
Okay. So this is a Christian.
This is a Christian. That's right. And Christian asked the question, if I believe that Jesus has the power to give me everlasting life, is it exactly the same as believing that he is the giver of everlasting life? Because the scripture says that all who believes that Jesus is the giver of everlasting life has everlasting life, right?
Yeah, so this would be a no answer.
No, that's not right.
That's not right, because here's the thing. If I say that Jesus has the power to give me everlasting life, that's not the same as saying Jesus has given me everlasting life.
Or I believe that he will give me everlasting life if I believe in him for it.
Right. See, the promise in John 4:10 is that if I believe that Jesus is the giver of the gift of everlasting life to all who believe in him for that gift, then I have that life. What Christian is saying is it enough to believe he can do it? He has the power to do it. So couldn't you go through life and say, I don't know where I'm going when I die, but I know Jesus could give me everlasting life if he wants to?
Yeah, I think there's people like that. Absolutely. People, for example, who maybe someone with low self-esteem says, well, obviously Jesus has the power to give eternal life, but he would never give it to me.
Right.
I don't, you know, I'm too unworthy.
Right.
And so that I don't believe that he's given me eternal life, even though I believe he could. You know, for example, someone might say, even in the first century, Jesus certainly has the power to heal people, but he would never heal me.
Or in terms of the gaining everlasting life, there's a lot of people today who would say, I know Jesus has the power to give me everlasting life, but whether he will or won't, I won't know until I die. I'll find out then, because I need to persevere to the end.
Sure.
And if I do, then he's going to give it to me. Well, that's not the same as Martha saying, yes, Lord, I know I'm never going to die spiritually. I know you're going to resurrect me in the resurrection of the righteous, because you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. John 11:25-27. Martha was sure of her eternal destiny. She didn't say, you have the power to do it. She said, you're the guarantor of it.
Right. And I think another way of saying this is, I think a lot of people, when they look at the offer of eternal life, I think there's a lot of people who would say, yes, he has the power to do it, but it's awfully subjective as to who he's going to give it to. Like, for example, if I'm pretty good, yeah, maybe he'll do it, you know, and so there's this
subjective.
But
I don't know what pretty good is.
Right, this is a subjective standard, you know. It's not that he gives it to everyone who believes in him for it. You know, maybe he'll give it to somebody who lives in Africa that does pretty good, and he'll have another standard for someone who lives somewhere else, and, you know, and so.
And by the way, I have a pet peeve on that. Some people will say Jesus can give everlasting life to all who believe in him for it. That's not the same as saying Jesus gives everlasting life to all who believe in him for it. To say he can do it is something that everybody in Christianity would agree to.
Right.
They might have different conditions on what you need to do to get it, but they're all going to agree he can do it.
Right.
The real question is, does he guarantee it to the one who simply believes apart from works?
Yeah, even the simple statement that you hear very often, I hope Jesus lets me into his kingdom. That very statement says, oh, I recognize he has the power to do it, but I just hope he does it. In other words, I don't know if he's going to do it. I'm not convinced he's going to give it to me. I just hope he does.
I tell you, that reminds me, Ken, I've heard a lot of preachers say in their evangelistic message, pray after me, Lord Jesus, you are my only hope of heaven.
Right.
And that's their saving prayer. You're my only hope of heaven. Well, he may be your only hope of heaven, but what they mean by only hope is, if you're not enough, I'm toast.
Right.
But I don't know where I'm going for sure when I die, because I don't know if you're enough.
And I don't know if what you're going to say to me. I don't know. I'm not convinced. Obviously, I'm not convinced that I have it.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, I went back and looked at some of our early writings, and I even said that kind of language a few times in some of my early magazine, while they were back then, newsletter articles. And it was a popular way to say it. Jesus is my only hope of heaven. But that's far short of saying Jesus is my Savior.
Right.
It's one thing to say Jesus can save me. It's another thing to say Jesus has saved me.
Right.
It's one thing to say Jesus has saved me for now. It's another thing to say Jesus has saved me forever.
Absolutely.
And only the person who believes that by faith in Jesus they're saved forever has believed the promise, the saving promise of everlasting life.
Well, great, and thank you for that question. And now we have another one with the few minutes we have left. This is from Steve, and he's talking about, and this comes up a lot of times in our Bible studies when we deal with the Old Testament, we will run into people such as Cyrus and Darius, which are pagan kings, kings of other countries, even kings that are used to discipline the people of Israel, that God uses them. We can think about the king of Babylon, for example. And sometimes these kings in the Old Testament express a belief or a praise for the God of Israel. And Steve asked the question, are these people saved? You know, so you got this pagan king, and he has great words of praise for the God of Israel. Is someone like that saved, or do they just simply lose rewards? What is their spiritual situation?
Yeah. Well, we don't know in many, if not most of these cases, because the Old Testament doesn't come out and say so-and-so believed in the Lord Jesus Christ or believed in the coming Messiah or whatever. We don't see so-and-so was born again. Occasionally, you'll see statements like God gave Saul a new heart and made him a new man, and those kind of statements indicate that King Saul was born again. We have statements, you know, like David was a man after God's own heart, or Abraham's a friend of God, that kind of thing. And, of course, the book of Hebrews tells us about the eternal destiny of many Old Testament saints. But Cyrus, for example, wasn't he the one that made the decree that Ezra and Nehemiah could go back and rebuild the temple?
Yeah, and isn't he even called the servant of God?
That doesn't necessarily mean he's a believer, but he is called a servant, which might imply it.
Or it could just simply mean that God is using him to accomplish his purposes. He's serving me.
But if I had to guess, I would say Cyrus probably was a born-again man, and we'll probably see him in the kingdom with Darius or Darius, depending on how you pronounce his name. So isn't Darius the one in Daniel 5 that comes in and defeats the Babylonian, establishes the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians?
Exactly. And so he's being used by God to, what would we call, punish the Babylonians? Because if you remember, the king there is taking the vessels from the temple of God and basically turning it into a sexual party.
And who's that, Belshazzar?
Belshazzar, right.
Yeah, so I don't know if we have enough indication as to whether Darius was born again or not. But I think it likely in the case of Cyrus. Another one I think likely was born again would be Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. Because remember, he
He gets proud.
Well, he has all these visions. And, of course, when Daniel's thrown into the... I mean, when the three men are thrown in the fiery furnace, is like, this is the God of gods. This is the, you know, this is the God. And then later, he's 7 years as an animal. And then he comes to his senses and he's praising the God of heaven.
Right.
Maybe he was born again during those after those 7 years. Maybe he was born again before that, but that's when God humbled him.
You would have to assume, maybe, that Daniel told him about the coming Christ.
Oh, right.
You know, but we don't know for sure. Right, right.
But it just looks like in the book of Daniel that this is a man who comes around over time. And there are other kings in the Old Testament that are interacting with Abraham and interacting with Isaac, like Abimelech. He looks like he's a believer.
And the kings of Israel and Judah, you know, they had contact with these foreign kings, right, as well. Right.
Right. And so, you know, based on the book of Jonah, Israel was to be an evangelistic nation, was to be sharing, at least that's the way some interpret it, that when Jonah got there, he should have been sharing the message of the Messiah with them, not just telling them 40 days and then destruction's coming, but when they all repent, he should be charging in there and telling them about the Messiah so that the people could be born again. That's the way some of one of my Old Testament profs at Dallas Seminary thought that Jonah was basically calling Israel to be evangelistic.
And, you know, the other thing is we have people like Naaman, and we have people like the widow whose son is resurrected.
Right.
And Jesus in Luke 4 talks about them in very glowing terms.
Right.
That God, that they responded. So, yeah, that seems to indicate that they were more than simply people who experienced miracles.
Right. Yeah. So I would say, although we don't have a lot of clear statements in the Old Testament, we do have New Testament pointing up some of these people who were born again. And I would think we're a little too hard on some of these Old Testament people. Even someone like Solomon. He dies as an idolater, but this man is the author of multiple books of Scripture. He wrote Song of Solomon. He wrote Proverbs. And I believe a few of the Psalms are by Solomon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Solomon will be in the kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was inspired by the Spirit to write part of the Old Testament.
Right, right. Right. So. But these are interesting questions, and I think we're going to find out that some of these people we had doubts about, we're going to see them in the kingdom.
Hey, we'll be surprised. Look, I didn't expect to see you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the questions, and for all of our listeners, remember,
keep grace in focus.
There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, we begin a short series with Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin about the kingdom and kingdom parables. So join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.